Are you tired of your underperforming dice? Are your bad dice a source of contention for your gaming group? Sick of rolling natural one after natural one? We can help. At MetallicDiceGames.com, the large selection of premium dice and accessories are guaranteed to improve your game. Look good and feel even better showing up to your game night with the highest quality dice on the market. Even better, get 10% off any purchase using the promo code RBP10. Go from chump to champ, from zero to hero, by bringing Metallic Dice Games products to your next session. Make the right decision and use promo code RBP10 to save some green while rolling those 20s. Don't delay, order now. Operators are standing by.
The Rancor's Brothel presents a Dungeons & Dragons adventure. Nev Thelian.
Who's drawing the f***ing arrows?
give you one guess.
Bullshit wizard.
Jesus Christ.
It's huge. It's 780 miles long.
Yeah, for the folks at home, Cody has drawn a 780 mile long penis on the map.
That then ejaculated onto the plains of Flodovica.
I was drawing a massive one going through Gherkin's failure earlier, but I don't think anyone noticed.
At Fort Roston, meet the wizard named Gomez Marcos, who is a water ganassi on the younger side, but has a nice bushy beard, welcomes you into his fairly large house with a parapet on one end, and all right, so you need to go north, right? That's what the letter says. The failure? Okay, all right. Hope you brought warm clothes.
Yep, got them right here.
Shown up.
Very clever taking those, yes. Right, so, teleporting. I do have to touch you, so sorry about that, if you care, you know.
I feel nothing.
From a little, you know, daisy chain, whatever.
Okay.
Skipping will not required.
Is there going to be any problem taking Pipsky?
No.
Okay.
Because there's four of you and two others, six of you. Yes, that's fine.
Cool.
I feel sort of ethically obliged to mention that that there is a possibility this might not put you exactly at the wall. No, should be fine. But just thought I'd mention.
What does not exactly mean?
Oh, you know, just margin of error.
That's fine.
No, shut the fuck up. What? No.
You will definitely be further north. It will absolutely get you closer.
You know it.
It's fine. We know where you live.
That's true. And also, if it happens...
Sorry.
But I don't think it will. It should be fine.
Yeah, again, what kind of margin of error?
Oh, you can't quantify these sorts of things, you know?
You can. Yeah, it's a distance. yeah. It's mathematically measured.
I feel like you have a
magical
number
wibbly wobblies.
You know what it is? At least what I would do, and I've been thinking about this for a while, I would teleport us while we're in our fucking parkas directly into the desert that's just south of the failure.
Why exactly?
Because I think it would be funny from a DM perspective to have them all dressed in parkas and then they land next to a fucking cactus.
Well, it is called the Cold Rim Desert for a reason.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Atacama in Chile.
David, you and your world knowledge.
I was thinking the steppes, but...
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be too far off either. Probably depends on whether you're near the coast or not.
His maps on logic and geography. Silly. Teleport away, wizard. Let's see how good your margin of error is.
Indeed, tally-ho! Off you go. And D100 time.
Oh, man, he's literally...
You have to do this every time you cast teleport.
Yep.
All right, so, okay, got it.
So this is the part where Dave fudges his roll because he never planned on us going here, so now he sends us somewhere where he didn't expect us to
I'm not fudging anything. I rolled an 81, which is on target. Which is slightly surprising, because you had a fairly good chance of not being on target.
I was going to say, how many out of the 100?
74 chances? And up is on target.
Wow. So like 1 in 4 chance of landing where you ended. Okay.
Well, given that he had never actually been there, but there is the magical blurring of reality before it sort of fades from white back into a lot of other white as you are now standing on sort of crunchy snow. And you can see occasional blocks of stone also covered in snow sort of rising up here and there in the distance. They don't seem to be continuous for more than maybe 20 or 30 feet before they are gone again. So just random segments of wall. The segments that are there seem like it used to be pretty impressive, like a good 40-foot high wall or something. But now it's just sort of like a weird dashed line made of masonry.
Cool.
Okay.
So to the south, you see pretty much just open tundra, occasional bushes, but mostly just snowy ground. To the north, past the wall, you see also a good bit of tundra, but in the distance you can make out the low line of trees that begins.
I'd like to cast a spell.
What would that be?
Guiding Hand.
Uh-huh.
I want to try and fudge it.
Okay, well, go on.
So I want to tell my Guiding Hand to... It says you must name one major landmark, such as a city, mountain, castle, or battlefield on the same plane of existence as you.
Right. So
it will point to anything that someone has visited and mapped. So if I cast it and say Elven Settlement, does it point towards a mapped Elven Settlement?
Well, but wouldn't that encompass every Elven Settlement on the continent or even further on the whole yes. plane?
Sure. I'm hoping that it works on a range.
So it starts like growing thousands of fingers that'll point in all directions.
Why not? I was going to say, why not say point to the nearest Elven Settlement?
It says name. So I think the whole goal is to say go to Chicago.
How's about you try targeting the field of tall spikes of ice?
Because if he points me towards a settlement first, then we'll go right to it.
You don't have any way of targeting the settlement.
It only has to have ever been mapped.
You have to be able to name it.
How would one name a battlefield?
Plenty of battlefields have been named.
Yeah. You have to be able to differentiate it, and you don't have any way to.
What about the forest that was named?
That is actually down south of the wall, Greystone Forest.
Oh, okay.
So, for right now, why don't we look around the wall? Because they said that there was the half-eaten elven body.
From 45 years ago.
Right, but maybe we can find some kind of trace here to start.
Well,
right.
I mean, it's literally the best clue that we have.
We could also try and find and talk to the merchant in the Greystone Forest.
That was 45 years ago.
Oh. And at minimum, 140 miles.
Disregard.
No, I just don't. I will definitely go towards the ice, but then they're going to say it's the ice next to the lake, next to the whatever, and God knows how long that chain is. So if I can point towards a settlement.
Dave didn't write an adventure that we can't figure out. Let's investigate.
I didn't say that he did. I'm investigating. I'm the magic person. I'm saying magic hand, point me to the next part of the adventure, please.
Yeah. That's not investigate.
It literally is.
Still worth a shot.
What would Kellen like to describe?
Kellen wants to describe the Elven Settlement.
Well, to nudge you a little bit, perhaps an Elven Settlement on a spring?
Well, I don't know. It says name. So do I have to say Chicago, or can I say the big city on Lake Michigan, and it would still point me in the same direction?
I see.
Which one, Chicago or Milwaukee?
Yeah, you'd have to say the biggest city on Lake Michigan.
Well, if the hand points
otherwise,
me in...
Otherwise, you're going to walk us 500 miles.
Well, okay, so going back to the sort of purpose of the whole spell of being, if anyone has mapped it.
Correct.
If anyone has mapped it, sort of implies that it would have a name. So I think that when it says name, it does mean an actual name, not just talk about.
If that is the case,
because then, that's how you mark things on maps.
If that is the case, then Guiding Hand would be useless, because I doubt that the spring is named if I can't name it, and I doubt the Field of Ice is named if I can't name it. That's what I'm trying to establish. Because it does say landmark.
Unless you find out a name, I don't think it will be useful.
Right. You can name a mountain, point me to Mount Everest, and it will point you to Mount Everest. But we don't have any names for anything up here.
We'll start looking for frozen dead bodies that are 45 years old.
I mean, that's what I was going to do. This is the first point where we were given any kind of clue to start looking. So,
I mean, I could cast Find the Path, but I don't know. It says specific fixed location, and I don't know if Elven settlement by the spring is specific enough.
Well, the problem is that it says that you are familiar with.
Yeah, we're familiar. We've been told about it. We know it exists. I mean, define familiar, I guess. I'm familiar with Paris. I've never been there.
I don't think I'd agree.
Okay, so Nishka is going to walk the wall. Where did we land? Right in the middle?
Yep. Oh, you know what? Actually, I'll roll for it. The wall is 140 miles long. Roll 1D 140. 140. Okay, so you are on the far eastern side, right next to the mountains.
Okay.
Well, we're a bit closer to the Greystone Forest if we want to seek that route.
How high is the mountain right there?
Super high, dude.
I think I'm going to pull out my broom, and I'm going to fly up.
It's about 13,000 feet high.
I just want to get above the tree line.
Like Pike's Peak height.
Can I see any signs of civilization? Any smoke? Anything?
Okay, so you begin flying up. Go ahead and make a perception check. I think this might be the first roll of the night.
Yes, it is. And that was a nat 20.
Good roll. What's that bring the total to?
Sorry. 27.
Okay. As you fly up, you look around the horizon, see mountains off to the east, and then forest to the north, empty plains to the south, and then this ragged bit of wall that goes off to the west. You don't see any plumes of smoke or signs of houses or any construction other than the wall. The one thing that does stand out to you is maybe about a mile or so to the west near the wall, you can see a patch of bright red on the snow.
Did you go all the way up the mountain?
No, I'm just flying up above the tree line.
Okay, so you're only 200 feet in the air?
Yeah, so 100 feet, 200 feet, whatever.
Okay. If you were at 13,000 feet and you were seeing a patch of red, I would be very concerned about heading towards said patch of red.
I will signal down to the guys on the ground and head that way.
Okay. So you also go ahead, Greg.
Wouldn't it take you a while to fly just up 13,000 feet?
Oh, yeah. Like, even at 50 feet, it'd take several minutes.
Anyway.
I guess we walk to investigate this giant patch of red.
Okay.
Fresh kill.
When you get over there, 15, 20 minutes later or so, you find that it's just a whole bunch of blood-soaked snow, and that laying in the midst of it is a severed reindeer head.
Ooh, tasty.
Would someone like to roll a survival check?
They could get guidance first.
23.
I rolled a 17.
Also a 17.
Okay. You all figure out that looking around at the blood, that it sort of is sort of slightly teardrop shaped, as it seems that probably something was dragged in one direction. And so that's probably where the lower, like the smaller part is, after it was originally killed, like in the middle of the blood area. And then as it reaches like the end of that shape, it starts getting splotchy, almost as if blood was falling, and it leads off towards the east in the, like if you were to follow it as a line, it goes towards the mountain.
Is there any blood on the wall itself, or is it just on the snow?
It's just on the snow. It's just sort of near the wall, not right up next to it.
Is there any sort of impact crater?
I'm
trying to see if this is a teardrop shape, as if the body was pulled from the head and the head was left here, or the head ended up here in its trail and here was the landing point. Does that make sense?
It sounds like something was dragged out of the blood pool.
You rolled pretty high on the survival check. So going back and looking at the original pool of blood, you can see that you can like sort of move aside, shovel a bit of the frozen blood, and you realize that it's actually filling up some like footprints or impressions in the ground that appear to be like the heel of something, but it is a large heel.
I was going to say, if we've got snow, then we should have tracks.
And the heel seems to be a little more than a foot long.
Can I roll to recognize these tracks?
Sure. You already rolled survival though, right?
Yes.
Just from the bit that's there in the blood, you can't really tell. You do look around a little bit more, and now that you're looking for them, you notice in the snow around the blood, there are some wide curving scuffs that look as though they might be from the beating of wings.
Do we want to hunt a creature down to kill it, guys?
Like snow griffins?
Something.
That's right. More griffins. All the griffins.
Dave does like his griffin.
Griffins are underrated.
Come up with an Arctic griffin.
I don't have anything immediately useful from a wizarding perspective. I guess we could walk. Are there any tracks to follow as we head towards the end of the blood splatter?
The most you get is the drops of blood, presumably as something was being carried that head in an easterly direction towards the mountain.
With that survival check, can I tell if that head was ripped off or cleanly severed?
Sure, yeah. You go back over to it, and it looks pretty rough, like as if something had like probably just bitten through the neck.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to help us in our investigation, but if we want to fight something tonight.
Well, I mean, it's literally the only sign of something that we have to go off of.
Yep.
I mean,
otherwise we just continue to look around.
Yeah. My only other thought is that a spring might come from one of these two mountains here. We could march in the direction of one of those.
I've got our connection here. So if, and this is a big if, it is possible that the thing that has made this fresh kill is also the thing or family of things that killed the elf, which would mean maybe the elven settlement we're looking for is in the hunting territory of the thing that made this kill.
Or it carried off its body, which happened to have a convenient map to a spring.
Well, this thing that's flying off with a reindeer corpse would explain why all the bones in the body of the elf were broken if it was dropped.
So I was looking for an impact crater.
Uh-huh.
All right. Yeah.
Let's go chase it down.
Okay. Bomb game.
Let's go for it.
All right. So what is your method of travel? You riding? I guess you have horse now and riding Pipsqueak,
yeah,
and Claw?
I'm on Pipsqueak.
Or, well, no. Is someone riding Claw?
We made a harness for Claw so that Kellen could ride Claw, if so desired.
I mean, it beats walking. I ride side saddle, though.
Claw also has, I think Claw also has a faster walking speed than Kellen does.
Yes, most certainly. Okay, so you set off easterly in the direction of that blood spatter and begin riding towards the mountain. You're already pretty close to the mountains, so it doesn't take you too long to start getting into the foothills. Actually, you're probably already in foothills. And they vary between just sort of slopes that head upwards and occasional cliffs and ravines. What are your passive perceptions?
17.
17.
That'd be a gentleman's 12.
15.
I like to think that Kellen's is so low is because he's just like always constantly chatting whenever he's traveling, and so not paying much attention.
I'm not hired to see the thing, Craig. I'm hired to kill it when you guys can't.
He's riding through the foothills, explaining to Claw why jorts are the best.
Okay. Well, as you are riding up a slope toward higher areas of the mountain, you're sort of coming up alongside a cliff to the left. And as you are riding along, let's see, who had passives of 15 or higher?
Everyone but Kellen.
Everyone but Kellen? Okay. In which case, everyone but Kellen notices a little bit of bright colored, well, not bright colored, just bright movement up along the cliff and a stony promontory to the right. And so everyone but Kellen is not surprised when two large bits of scaly white suddenly dart out.
So you see, Claw, the jorts are a perfect aspect, as I'm just covered with pipe tobacco just swirling around my head. Most excellent attire. The ward
Kellen,
on the Southern
shut
Isles.
The fuck up. Pay attention.
I'm not even in turn order. Oh, I'm surprised.
When you say dart out, are we talking darting on land or darting into the sky?
We're talking darting into the sky.
Okay.
It is time for initiative.
Oh, it's not what I thought would happen.
That is a 9. Okay.
9 for Nushka.
18.
That's for Alec.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you being ridiculous surprised, or do you actually want me to wait around before rolling?
You are as surprised. You can not take actions or reactions. I believe you can talk or take free actions.
Yes, I'm currently searching for more pipeweed and
does Pipsqueak have their own turn?
No.
No. Okay, then I'll take them off the order. Kellen, go ahead and roll initiative. You just don't get to do much.
Well, I mean, I am sat atop something that will likely launch itself into combat, so I'm sure I will be in combat momentarily.
Sure, but what's the number?
I rolled a nat 20 for 23.
Okay. In which case, Kellen is surprised, but the horse immediately darts forward underneath him.
I'm on Claw.
Oh, Claw. Right, never mind. Wrong person. Right. So in which case, you are suddenly probably jolted as Claw goes to one side or another.
Claw cannot be surprised, by the way.
Okay. In which case, what would Claw like to do? Because I think we had Claw acting on Kellen's initiative.
Yes, Claw is following Kellen's orders unless I override them.
You're going to regret that.
So do you think Claw would do nothing because he hasn't received an order yet? Or...
Claw would... Can they take the dodge action while someone's riding him?
Sure.
Or I guess, like, to take a dodge action would be on Kellen. I mean, I guess in combat, if I'm saying that he's obeying Kellen, would we just have him follow Kellen's initiative?
Well, by the rules, it goes on your turn. So I think your instructions notwithstanding, probably it still goes on your turn, now that I think about it. So Kellen could tell it what to do, but he is sort of lagging behind at the moment.
Dodge!
Okay. But he doesn't actually take the dodge action until my turn, right?
Right. Alec, you're up. There are definitely dragon-shaped things going into the air. Their scales are a blinding white color. They don't appear particularly huge. They're probably on the younger side.
I did not specify this beforehand, but I'm assuming that it would be okay for me to switch out one of my magical items for my Boots of the Winterland before coming up here.
Oh, just the attunement, you mean?
Yep.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. It's very logical.
I can see these things that you are saying?
Yes.
Craig.
Now, the one to the north is probably a little obscured because it's still up on the cliff and just now taking off. So it would have some cover from anything that required line of sight. The one over on the south is much more out in the open, invisible.
I'm going to cast aid. So each of the three of you will get a hit point maximum, a 5 create increase.
So, okay. So the max HP goes up by 5?
Mm-hmm.
Or temporary HP?
I think it's your max actually goes up.
Your max goes up. Yeah.
For a certain amount of time.
But it goes up. It's going up temporarily.
Right.
For the next 8 hours.
So does our current HP go up with it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like preemptive healing.
Oh, shoot. Probably should have said that beforehand.
What?
Can I retcon just casting at a higher level?
Sure.
Still your turn, not even a retcon.
Okay, I'm going to do that at a... fourth level, so they get 15 points.
Jesus.
All right.
What level is aid?
Two.
Oh, it's two. Okay.
Okay, and would Alec like to move? Also, are you just walking, or do you have a horse, too?
Well, I guess I never really explicitly said, but I would assume that I bought one when Craig did, but it was not really said.
Well, if you just want to knock the gold off your sheet, that's fine.
Yeah, how much is that?
Craig? 472.
Craig, how much is the horse?
75 for a riding horse.
Okay.
No, I'll stay put.
Okay. And any bonus action?
No.
And you have cast a spell already.
I don't really have a... Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, Rook.
Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
After your turn, I asked you a question. Can you message me the answer back? Go ahead and take your turn. Yeah. I was trying to ask you while Troy was going.
Did you say that the horse is spooked, Dave?
It seems logical to me, but you could roll an animal handle animal check.
Sure, I can do that. 9.
Yeah, it's definitely in a bolt.
Okay.
And probably just go its speed forward. It's off because I don't have it centered on a square. That's why. So it just starts galloping forward, and whatever a horse scream sounds like.
Okay. So with my, I'm going to have had my spell storing item on Longstrider while we were traveling.
Right.
Although I guess we just teleported. So I probably would have put it on something else.
Although with the intention of more traveling, so.
Right.
Up to you.
Yeah, we'll just keep it a Longstrider. I want to say that what I would have done is given any of the creatures, I touched the creatures. Well, no, I probably wouldn't have activated that just on, we were traveling. We had to travel this way. So I would have activated that on any of the traveling creatures. So the horses and Claw and.
So everyone has 10 feet more movement.
Yeah, all of the mounts have 10 feet more movement.
Okay.
But not anybody riding the movement. Riding them wouldn't make sense.
Okay, gotcha.
So I will cast on myself Haste. It's a third level spell. Doubles my speed, plus 2 armor class, advantage on dex saves, and plus 1 action per turn, which is whatever. And I'm going to... Do I think I can get the horse back under control?
If you wanted to... spend a bonus action on it, you could try.
Yeah, I'm gonna spend a bonus action trying to get the horse under control.
Okay, make another check.
7. So no.
No, I'm afraid not. Not heeding the metal man.
Okay.
If you want to dismounting normally takes half your movement, but if you want to just fall off for a couple hit points of damage, you could do that.
Yeah.
Although you probably end up prone anyway, so I don't know that would help.
I mean, I'm a little bit worried about it. If I dismount it, just running off.
It's a very real possibility.
Wasted 75 gold. Of course, I guess if we get into combat with 2 dragons, if I don't tie it up, it's going to probably run off anyway. Okay, very close. I guess I'll ready my crossbow.
Okay. For what? What will you ready it for? Or do you just mean that you're drawing it?
I guess I'm drawing it. And I'll fire off a shot.
Okay.
Or I guess I get 2 attacks.
You're about 45 feet from the closest one.
Yeah, we'll target that one.
What's the range on that crossbow?
100 without disadvantage, 400 with disadvantage.
For a hand crossbow?
For a heavy crossbow.
Oh, a heavy crossbow. Gotcha. That makes much more sense.
Why can't I select it?
Is this a fancy infused version that generates its own ammo?
It is.
Those are the best.
Okay. I had changed the name of it in the character forge. So that's why I was pulling it correctly. Okay.
Okay. Fire off those shots.
23 to hit.
That will hit. Very,
And it,
what's the name of that? It's very, the long lake in The Hobbit. Smaug shooting bolts up.
For 8 damage.
Okay.
Because I'm using an infused weapon. Yes. But because I'm using an infused weapon, I get a second attack.
Right.
So 21 to hit on the second shot.
That will also hit.
For 12 damage.
Okay. So a couple bolts thud into its underside. It doesn't appear to react too much more than just sort of jerking to the side a little bit, but it keeps rising up into the air. It is now its turn, and it is going to sort of, like, you can see one eye sort of looking out at you as it flies, but it heads to the west, where it sort of swoops around in a curve and then comes down towards the group that was all traveling together and releases a blast of frosty mist breath across the group of you there.
Yeah, I should have been smart about that. I didn't think about that.
So everyone except Rook and Rook's horse, go ahead and make a constitution save.
Nat 20.
Nice.
7.
Okay. Claw will also need a save, as will Pipsky.
Do I need to roll one for my horse?
Sure.
What was the type of save?
Constitution.
23 for Nushka.
Nice.
And 18 for Pipsky.
Okay. A riding horse is a con of plus 1.
So 16.
Okay. The horse will make the save, which may not matter. Probably won't matter. See how this goes.
Claw rolls a 10.
Wait. That was entirely useless. You were supposed to roll it for me. Never trusting these character sheets again.
Hey, guys. I think we're fighting a young white dragon.
I mean, I did sort of indicate that.
Right. No, but mean,
they're medium-sized white dragons.
No, but that breath damage just probably kill a significant number of people.
Well, it's 34 incoming cold damage. Most of you, Kellen did not make the save, but I think everyone else did.
Claw didn't. I don't know if the other horse did.
Well, horse made the save, but it does not probably doesn't matter that the horse made the save, because I don't think the horse has that much HP. No, it has 13 hit points. So even halved, that horse suddenly locks up mid-stride, freezes, and falls over.
Claw dead?
Alec, no, make a dex save.
Claw is at 18.
After taking 35 damage?
Yeah, he had 52 before.
Jesus.
Then we need to update this HP thing.
14.
It's Claw's level, Craig.
I am working on that.
Okay, you're good, Alec. You managed to jump out and avoid getting trapped underneath the horse as it falls. Everyone else, track their health. Do remember if you've got cold resistance, like from boots.
Yep.
Ooh, wait a minute. I've remembered something. Although I don't know if it's going to matter. I have not used this in a while. Into us.
Kellen, what are you at?
With the extra HP, I'm at 59 right now.
Gotcha.
I guess I could have tracked that for you. Sorry.
Ow.
Oh, God. I'm about to lose it, aren't I?
Well, the dragon sort of swoops around to the left towards the west of the group and appears to be, like, in the progress of climbing back up higher into the air. But for it now, is that is... Air? What? It is it flying, is yes. Air? It is, we'll say, 20 feet up because it came down low for the attack and then sort of starts to swoop back up. It's Nushka's turn.
The answer to your question, Cody, is no.
It's not helpful.
Nushka will holler down at Pipsky in Draconic and say, you can't talk to these guys, can you?
Pipsky will reply, I could, but I don't think they listen. I'm just a little pipsqueak to them.
What's it, Troy?
Huh?
Were you saying something?
Am I still good? Yeah, but I don't know if it's too late. But I forgot about my fun staff that I was holding.
What does the staff do?
Blinds people in the sky.
Yep.
Oh, can you use that as a reaction?
Yep.
Then yes, you could certainly go ahead.
So I need a constitution saving throw from the dragon.
So Dragon, that is a 23.
Well, fuck you.
Does anything happen on a save, or is it only on a failure?
Well, it does get disadvantage on the attack roll, but then otherwise nothing.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So it has disadvantage on its next attack roll? Is that true?
Well, no. It should have been on the attack that already happened. But that's what I was trying to say. It might have been too late getting to it.
What attack that already happened? Oh, on its attack. Oh, yeah. It wasn't making an attack roll. You had to make saves.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then, yeah. Nothing happens.
Okay. Nushka, what's the plan?
BRB. You know, in all honesty, I'm not sure what Nushka's going to do. Nushka's going to move out from the group a little bit and start screaming in Draconic insults and challenges. And
okay.
Take the dodge action. Actually, no, I take that back. She will ready an action for one of them to come within arm's reach.
Okay. In which case, the other dragon is up next and is going to fly over the cliff's edge and then swoop down towards Alec. And then right as it gets low, it also is going to unleash a cone of frosty breath towards Alec, Kellen, and Claw.
You already used your reaction to blind the other one.
Yeah, I know.
What is it, 50? Oh, I guess it's right there, 30 foot. Cool.
Oh, yeah, 30 foot cone.
I got a 12 that time.
I'm not in that, am I?
No.
No. You have, you moved outside the range.
Okay. He's drawn it here.
Okay, well, Craig is out of the room. Alec, what'd you get?
On save, right?
Yep.
19.
Okay, so you make the save, and we'll find out from Claw in just a second. Hey, Craig, another con save for Claw.
Okay, 7.
Okay, so Alec makes the save, the other two fail. This time it is 50 incoming cold damage.
Claw's dead. Or actually, wait.
Kellen is still barely alive.
Oh, never mind. I can't. Claw's dead.
Okay.
I disappear. I'll use fade away.
Okay. That makes you invisible for the next round, right?
Correct.
Or is it until like the end of your next turn or something like that?
Yeah. There are a couple other things. If I choose to attack or do something, it will change.
Okay. Well, because your turn is next.
Yeah. Thinking about that. Everything kind of changes when you get two fucking breath weapons that hit you.
Well, it's your turn. So.
Yeah. I was going to ask. This little rocky outcropping here. This is a tree, or this is a bush, or what is it?
Yeah, it's a pine tree.
So I could theoretically stand underneath it?
Yes.
And what's my line of sight difference here? Oops, wrong tool. That tool. I don't know why it's not letting me click on these tools very well.
I just realized I can use one of these bubbles on the dragon tokens to track how high they are.
Oops. Sorry,
so I just don't drew have to remember. I'm sure, it's never happened before.
Yeah. So Kellen is going to run under the trees. 5, 10, 15, 20. I don't know if I'm technically under the trees there or not, but I think I have one more movement if I'm not.
You're a gnome, so sure.
Okay. I'll take the extra 5 if I need to. That changes up what I'm going to do here, though.
Where are Nushka and Alec on them? Are they under the dragons?
Nushka is right there.
Oh, Alec's right. Over here. On Pipsky. Oh. Wow, I'm blind.
You said they're both flying, right?
Correct. This one is real close to the ground because it just let off its breath weapon. It's like 10 feet off the ground.
Okay.
This one's 20 feet up.
Okay. Pythagorean theorem and all that.
They're low enough that it won't matter.
Okay.
Math is hard.
Now that you mention it, though, I'm going to open a calculator for when we need it later.
Yeah. I've not got high hopes for this, but I will, I'll drop a fireball on this one.
Okay.
I think I've got range for that, yeah. It's like 120. It's 150.
You're gonna drop it on the far side of the dragon, presumably?
Yeah. Well, I figure if it's up in the air, I don't know how high it is up in the air, but theoretically that would take
it high enough so that just the bottom would hit it.
Yeah, I mean, I can space it in they're not too close that I have to be too particular about it.
Right. Okay. Fireball for that. Because I don't think you can hit both. Well, you probably could hit both of them.
I didn't know how you were going to Pythagorean theorem that. If I can hit both of them, I'll hit both of them. I just didn't assume that I could, given their spacing.
You could hit both of them and actually probably miss us, too.
Yeah, I think you could probably do it.
All right. Well, I'll take dex saves from both of them, then.
Okay.
If I'd have known I'd hit both of them, I would have pumped it up.
You still can if you want.
Because it's what? It's an extra d6 per level above third?
Correct.
Yeah, I'll pump it up to... How many of those do I get a day? 2? Yeah. I'll pump it up to 5th level. Make it 10d6.
Okay. The one on the east, on the right, got an 8, so that's a failure.
Correct.
The one on the left got a 16.
Still a failure.
Okay. Well, then they both take full damage.
Three, four, five, six, seven. I know there's a nap. I don't care. 8. 9, 10. It's more satisfying this way.
Oh, I agree.
So
That's 10. That's 20.
You better keep going.
38 damage.
Very nice. So a ball of fire blossoms in the sky, temporarily engulfs the two dragons. They emerge from it a second later as the fireball fades. The one on the left that's already got hit by a couple crossbow bolts is looking not great, somewhere near bloodied. The one on the right is still doing pretty good. Kellen, will that kill your invisibility, I assume?
Yes, but if I need to, Dave, I mean, if I have the movement, I may even move one more 5 foot step back into the trees.
Sure. Any bonus action?
No.
That was a no?
No.
Okay. Alec, you have a giant, well, I don't know why I said giant. You have a dragon about 10 feet from your face with its jaws open. You've just been blasted by the frost breath.
Oh, am I in its range then?
For melee? It seems likely, although it is moving technically. But yes, for the time being.
Well, I mean, I'm at more, if I move, will I invoke an opportunity attack?
Yes.
Okay. Are both of them on the ground?
No. In the air. This one is flying. It's sort of in at the end of its swoop towards you, where it let off the frost breath. And you assume that it's probably about to swoop back up into the sky past you. Like, it's a, if you remember the beginning of Fellowship of the Ring, when the fireworks dragon is swooping down towards the hobbits, it's about like that.
Well, I'm just trying to think of, wait a minute. Now that we're 11th level, do I do that? I don't know. I don't have anything of great, oh no, I do. Where'd that go? That's a bonus. Oh, sweet tits. Awesome. Yes. Okay. I am going to, hit it with Firebolt.
Okay.
Now I'm going to pick the right dice first. I'm sure 28 hits, probably.
Yep. Oh, your cantrips do more damage now, don't they?
Yes, they level do. 11.
You would be 3d10.
Yep. Four, not a super great number, but that would be 15.
Okay. So as it's swooping straight towards you and lets off that frost breath, you respond by just chucking fire straight into its mouth.
Yes.
And there's a bit of...
And then as a bonus action, I'm going to cast Shield of Faith.
Uh-huh. Which gives plus 2 AC, is that right?
Yes. And then I'm gonna move.
Cody, are you protected enough, or do you need some extra protection or healing?
It'll take its opportunity attack as you leave, and we'll... Roll a 25 to chomp down on you as you move away.
Son of a bitch.
So it just sort of swerves slightly and bites your shoulder. And that would be 17 piercing damage and 6 cold damage. 23 okay. Total. Although if you've got stuff to resist cold, I don't recall.
Alec, as you run in that direction, Kellen is going, "Fuck off, this is my hiding spot."
Can I use my reaction on that attack?
You got your reaction back on your turn, so yes, you could.
Okay, so instead, give me a con save, please.
Okay, that's a 25.
Motherfucker. it still gets disadvantage on the attack roll, so I guess roll the attack again.
Oh, okay. So on the off chance, this might not have hit. Yeah. Well, that will work out for you because that's now a 9 to hit, so you don't take that damage.
Nice.
So as it sort of swoops to try and get you as you leave, you just hold up the staff behind you, Gandalf style, and it flares out, and it sort of pulls up at the last second. Would you look at that? It did something. Good staff.
That's my turn.
Okay. Is that all of your movement? Or is that where you wanted to go?
Yeah.
I think you could make it one more square if you wanted to.
Oh, okay.
Rook.
No, I'm going to go over this way. So, well, let's call it this way. There we go. I'm good there.
Craig.
Is my horse done being spooked yet?
Probably not. Would you? I'll give you a free check to control it if you want.
Yeah, I'd like to try and control it again.
Oh, you know what?
No.
Nope.
Add another 5 onto that damage.
Oh, because of potent spellcasting?
Yeah. Sorry. Gotcha. I knew. No, I remembered it when I was talking and then I got distracted. And
Rook, you could try again if you want to use the bonus action, or you could just jump off or do whatever you want.
You know, I'm going to try it again, and I'm going to give myself a plus +5 to it.
Okay.
Burn one of those slots.
That'll do it.
These fucking rolls.
You okay. Managed to yank on the reins enough that you can get the horse turned around, and it is still super jittery, but you have it under control for the time being.
Okay. Cool. Nushka, how are you doing on HP?
Now that I have, now that this has come up and I've thought about it, I guess this would be a mechanical benefit of a warhorse.
Yes. I'm sorry, Jeff, what was your...
I'm fine. I'm down less than 20.
Okay. Kellen, you're at, what, 5 health? 9 health?
9, but I've got myself into a spot, so if you can do damage, I would say killing them before they attack us again is a solid plan.
Okay. I can do that, or at least attempt to.
I mean, even if you heal me, say, 25... another breath weapon, if it recharges for them, is going to decimate me, so.
Okay.
And by odd coincidence, the two dragons look exactly the same in terms of wounds.
Okay, so I spent the free action, then I spent my bonus action to get it under control, or a regular action?
Bonus.
Okay. Then I'm gonna use 2 actions to do 2 attacks each. So I'm going to do 4 attacks with my heavy crossbow total.
Oh, because you're hasted. Right.
Yes.
Although, hasted. I think, does haste only give you 1 extra attack?
Haste gives me an extra action. And my ability says when I attack, I get 2 attacks.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So I'm just going to roll 4.
Attack rolls. Yeah, sure. Are they all going rolls at the same dragon or not?
I guess it would be sequentially to the first one until it's killed.
Okay, so shooting at the one that's closer to you, unless it dies.
Yeah. So there's the 4 attack rolls, 24, 16, 13, 28.
Okay, the first and the last one will hit. Okay. So 2 of them.
Damage is...
Dave, what's this music?
This is from Pirates 3. The
Caribbean. That's okay. What did it say, Pirates? From like, couldn't quite remember.
And I'm going to apply Force Rend to both of the ones that connect for damage.
Sure, makes sense.
Which does an extra 2d6. So 12 plus 8 plus 14 is 34 total damage.
Okay, from both attacks?
Yes.
Okay, so those bolts thud into the dragon. And as it's reeling from getting blinded by Alex's staff, it gets hit in the side, shrieks a bit more. And is actually just going to land in, as in its, you know, apparent confusion as it's being assailed from multiple sides at the moment.
And I'll, I guess I will move myself, say about here.
Okay, so you're dismounting?
No, I guess.
Or you want to take the horse with you? You're riding?
I want to take the horse with me if I've rested control of it. Yeah, and I still have movement. I'm going to try and draw some of the attack. And that will be my turn.
Okay.
Which dragon did you hit?
The one nearest to me.
Okay.
Okay. This dragon here is going to swoop in and land right next to Pipsqueak and Nushka, and its long neck reaches out, its jaws open wide as it tries to snap down on Nushka's armor. That's an 18 to hit.
Actually, I would get an attack before that.
Oh, because you were readied. You're right. Go ahead.
I will attack recklessly. If I can not lose a die. It's a 17 on the die. I didn't say I was adding, I was taking the minus -5. God damn it.
You did say so recklessly, didn't you?
He said recklessly. So that not great weapon master.
Oh.
Yep. So that's a 26 to hit.
Definitely hits.
It's 15 damage.
Okay. Okay. And then it is going to attack you in turn.
Yep.
It was an 18 to hit with its jaws.
That hits.
Okay. In which case... Oh, goodness. That would be 13 points of piercing and 5 cold. So the cold would be halved down to 2. So 15 total.
I'm still on Pipsqueak, but I'm going to move her out of the way so I can access my icon.
Yeah, that's fine.
I assume it's going to get like 6 more attacks?
2. As each of its claws come in on either side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first is a crit.
No, it's not.
Oh, because you have adamantine?
Yep.
Okay. Well, in which case, it just hits. The second one is a 20 to hit.
That'll hit.
Okay. So this is all just slashing, no cold.
Okay.
And the first one is 12 slashing.
Yep.
And second is 8 slashing.
Okay. And you gave me plus 15 to my max?
Yeah. Aid from Alec with did aid? That, yes.
Okay.
So then after slashing you, it just sort of like lowers its jaw towards you and is sort of like weaving back and forth in hunter mode and sort of just like circles around you a little bit and gets its cool. back to the cliff. Let's see. Nushka, you're up.
I will rage.
Okay.
I will recklessly attack and I'll take the minus 5.
Okay.
Oh shit. You know what I should have done?
No.
It's a new feature, so I completely forgot about it. At 7th level, I got warding maneuver for my cavalier level.
Ah.
4 times a day, if you or a creature you can see within 5 feet is hit by an attack, you can roll 1d8 as a reaction. If wielding a melee weapon or a shield, roll the die and add the number rolled to the target's AC against the attack. If it still hits, the target has resistance against the attack's damage. I guess that's only for one of those 3 attacks. I'm not that.
I mean, we haven't moved far enough away from that yet. Nothing's really happened. So if you want to use it, you could.
Nah, I'm not that worried about it.
Okay. Good thing to remember, though.
Yeah. So first attack, that's a 15 to hit. No, 19 to hit.
Okay. Then that will hit.
Okay. That was 2 ones. So those are getting re-rolled. I need 1 more d6 for Divine Fury.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah. It is 30 damage.
Nice.
Very nice. It is now past bloodied and is quite bloody.
Okay.
It's white scales marred by a bunch of red wounds.
Second attack. That's a crit.
Hey, nice.
That's 35 damage.
Okay. How would you like to kill this young dragon?
messily.
Blood spraying everywhere.
Half eaten.
Okay, so what's the main weapon? Is it an axe?
It's a greatsword.
Greatsword. Okay, yeah, so you just slice open its throat. Blood starts spilling all over you and the snow around you. It sort of starts clawing up at its neck. Not that it can do anything about it, but as it loses more and more blood, it just sort of shudders and falls down to the ground. And it's sort of like weakly clawing at the ground as it slowly bleeds out.
Cool. And I'll tell Pipsky to charge, and I'll get in melee with the other.
Okay.
And I think that's it for me.
Okay, and then the other dragon is up next, the one you just charged up to. And it is going to lunge towards you as you approach. And it rolls a 20 to hit.
I'll use a warding maneuver.
Okay, so you roll the d8 and add it to your AC, is that right?
Yep. Rolled a 4, so you still hit me.
Okay, in which case you have 15 piercing incoming and 6 cold.
So I will take 10, right?
7 and then 3. Yep. It then comes in with the claws. Oops, I have to roll an attack roll first.
That'd be good.
Yep. A 21 to hit.
Yep.
Okay, and then a 19 to hit.
Yep.
All right. First one is 16 slashing, followed by 11 slashing. And then after it lets those last two attacks out with its claws, it rears back, flaps its wings, and begins taking to the air. So you could get in an opportunity attack.
Okay. I'll take the minus 5 to hit it. That is 18 to hit.
That will just hit.
24 damage.
Okay. So it roars as the greatsword bites into its back and carves a long line down, like, next to its spine. A bunch of blood and, like, a chunk of muscle drops out onto the snow, but it takes to the air and, badly wounded, begins flying at full speed off to the east and upward. It looks like it's probably running.
Now we just follow it back to the lair.
Kellen? It's not Kellen you today.
Not yet.
That was terrible. That's still within fireball range.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, Kellen's pretty pissed off. He's in a lot of pain.
Cold, frostbitey pain.
Yeah, very cold, frostbitey pain. Kellen's probably not thinking logically. Could argue that he doesn't, normally. So, Kellen flies, like, up and out of the tree and says something to the effect of, no, 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 fuck you, Mr. Dragon, and launches another fireball at him.
Okay.
And it's another one at fifth level because I'm not thinking rationally.
Okay. It rolls a 10 on that dex save, so...
1, 2,
whatever three, this 10d6 damage is.
Come on, seven, 10 damage. I want to see
eight,
it.
8, 9, 10. Get f***ed, dragon. Oh, one of them went on the floor. Okay. It's definitely not as good as the last one. Wow. Thanks, Jeff.
Jinxed. What did it come out to?
25.
Okay. So as the fireball explodes around the dragon, for a second you can't see what's happening, and then as the magic fades away, you see a burning dragon sort of plummeting down in like an arc that then collides with the side of the cliff before crumpling down to the bottom of the slope and just smoldering there in the snow. It is dead.
That was for Bambi. How long does aid last, Troy?
8 hours.
Thank God.
Because otherwise...
No. I was just wondering if at the end of this combat or shortly hereafter, I just collapse. Because you gave me 15 and I'm at 9.
Could I interest you in our special today? A short rest.
spray the dying on the horse?
How recent does it have to have been?
1 minute.
Spare the dying, so long as it's still making death save. It just stabilizes it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, I'm thinking revivify.
It's been like 3 rounds, so unless I roll really terribly, the horse is still alive. So yes, you could stabilize the horse.
Sweet.
What?
I said sweet.
Oh, yes. So, a not quite dead horse, just badly burned or frozen, although it wasn't a fireball. No, never mind. That missed you.
Sweet way to end that combat, by the way.
Kellen doesn't like taking 77 some odd damage. It's really not pleasant.
Nushka sees the horse start twitching again and curses under her breath. She was looking forward to making stew.
Do your own mount.
Whew, that's not very nice.
So do we, I say, looking over to Pipsky, do they only hunt in pairs of two, or should we be worried about Mama?
I'll relay that.
Well, Pipsky can understand it, I believe, right?
No, I think she only speaks Draconic.
Only speaks Draconic, right, okay. Well, they do not usually hunt in pairs unless they are still young or mated, but those don't look like they were. Probably there is a parent somewhere. Although it may not be very close, they can fly far.
Noted.
So no. But they like to roost in caves, so probably on the mountain somewhere.
So you guys want a short rest, right?
Not near where the bodies are.
Are there magical ingredients to loot off the corpses of white dragons?
Certainly. You could find all sorts of things that would be of interest to alchemists. And perhaps smiths, although you did quite a number on their scales. So getting enough scales to make something large out of would be difficult, especially since they themselves are not huge dragons. You might get enough scales out to maybe make a shirt out of, certainly not a full set of armor. But they also have teeth and claws and horns, and those are things that alchemists would be more interested in. And probably eyeballs and livers, because magic is weird.
I would probably want to collect all of the things, just like a full-on butchering and dissection.
Sure, go ahead and make a survival check.
I guess we can short rest here for now, then.
Or medicine, if you prefer. Your choice.
Yeah, it's the same bonus either way.
Okay.
Rook is going on an hour-long explanation of why the dragon's balls are so important.
It's not Dragon Ball Z, it's just Dragon Balls.
I got a whopping 11. You know what? Let's give that a +5 and make it a 16.
Okay.
So you're writing down dragon cockles as something in your inventory?
You're able to harvest a bunch of scales and... You said a 16 total, right?
Uh-huh.
Come on. 15 teeth.
Okay.
And, come on, what do you know? 15 claws as well.
Okay.
And three of the horns, you break the fourth one.
Okay.
You don't quite know which of the organs are which, and also some of them are stabbed. So, you don't think you'll be able to really recover any of those.
Sorry about that.
Hey, gotta take a chunk out of part of them to be able to get the other parts.
The meat is already partially cooked.
You are able to recover two of the eyeballs.
Cool.
And you are conveniently in a cold climate where they will not spoil quickly.
Awesome.
In fact, because I can find out, it is currently 11 degrees.
Oh boy.
But no snow, light wind.
Does any of this bother Pipsky?
You want to ask?
Yes.
Why would it bother me?
I don't.
Is that like us measuring?
Because their scales are also the same color?
Well, because drakes have a link to dragons. I didn't know if the link between them would. If you had a problem with it, I would ask Rook to stop.
Oh, no. These are brutes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and
even if
like...
they weren't, they ambushed us. No provocation. That's enough reason to defend oneself from anything.
Right. But there's a difference between killing in self-defense and mutilating for parts.
Oh, that. Well, it's kind of looks tasty.
I was thinking steaks for dinner.
Dragon steaks. You could boast about that to people.
That's, yeah.
I've never tried it. Might as well.
Cool.
I was going to say, imagine from like, to flip the script for like, from a human being perspective, like to put ourselves in Pipsky's shoes. If we're out, you know, in the Serengeti and you see a lion take down another human being and it's clearly dead and like consuming it, like you're not going to, you can't save the human at this point. Like you may not want to watch it, but are you really like gonna have a problem with the lion eating the meat?
No. I would you have a problem with the lion yelling over at his friends like, I'm gonna take his teeth, guys?
Yeah, I'd have a problem with the lion talking to me. That'd be fucking scary.
And on that,
hey,
bombshell
is very nice. Yeah, so short rest. I assume you guys are gonna be rolling some hit dice, maybe all the hit dice.
I mean, I'm not going to have to roll that many.
I'm good. I didn't take a look at damage.
I mean, yeah, Kellen's the one that's the worst for wear.
Yeah,
as it turns out, your spooking horse saved you quite a bit.
I mean, I'm down 75 hit points.
Same.
Remember to add con to each roll.
How many hit die do I have? I guess technically I have 11,
right? Also remember, on the off chance you guys have one, one of the, was it like periaptive wounds or
wound
something?
Wound closure?
I don't know if anybody has one.
I have one.
Well, then, yes. Remember that.
Yep.
I've been thinking about canceling one.
It's always better to do them in even numbers, right? Hit dice?
Well, you can do them one at a time and decide after each one how many, if you want to do another one.
Well, because you recover half of them, right? Is it rounded up or rounded down?
Oh, right. You recover half of them. You always round down. The rule of thumb is always round down. So if you're level 11, yeah, you would get 5 back after a long rest, or up to 5, rather.
It still doesn't.
Yeah, you regain half of your max, right?
Right.
It's not half of what's used. It's half of your max.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
So if I use 5, I'm going to recover 5 no matter what.
5.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Well, we'll start by using 5 then.
I don't think that's how I understood it this whole time for the last 6 years.
We had been doing it wrong.
It basically means that it takes you 2 nights to fully rest up from expending them all.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are at an odd number, in which case you're mildly fucked out of the one day. But only if you use them all.
If you need additional healing, either of you, let me know.
I have a good con modifier. I just rolled like shit on those saving throws, which is annoying.
Why can I not click on Nushka?
Because you have the wrong tool selected, I think.
I have the wrong tool selected.
That gets me back up to 40 of 78.
That's something. Do you want to keep going?
No, I'll probably stop there. I guess I was going to generally ask, are we going to continue to play this evening? Is this a stopping point? Are we...
We could continue to get to a slightly more dramatic stopping point if you want. But depending on how we cut it up, that may not matter.
I would rather end on a dramatic point than not a dramatic point. But I wasn't sure if the dramatic point is 17 arguments and 4 hours down the road, or if it's hey, after your rest, here comes the big one, and I go, shit, I should have spent more hit points. or more hit dice and we end the episode. But yes, ending on a dramatic point is always preferred.
Does the party want to press on after the short rest?
Yes. I'm good to go either way.
Yeah, I'd like to not be near, but I don't know where we're going.
Okay. Probably sort of throughout the short rest, as you're binding up wounds and just walking around, maybe cutting up dragons, who knows. Go ahead and make perception checks. And Rook at disadvantage because you are rather preoccupied.
Okay.
21 for me, and if I can find it.
21 as well.
11 for Pipsky.
Okay.
Mine is a 14.
Rook, what'd yours come out to?
24.
At disadvantage?
Yep.
Damn.
First roll was a nat 20.
All right. Well, then Alec perhaps has to have it pointed out to him. But the rest of you at some point notice up on the side of the mountain a fairly large dark spot, which upon, you know, further staring and perhaps talking about a little bit, you're pretty sure is probably the entrance to a cave. And it is about probably another mile away and then a couple thousand feet up the side of the mountain.
I suppose you want to make that your next stop then?
Yeah. How big a cave is this?
Well, if we can see it from here, it must be pretty decent sized.
Okay.
Or at least the entrance might get smaller.
You feel like going up there?
Sure. I am back in my home turf.
Cool.
It is nice to have snow under my claws again.
Before we get headed out, I am going to expend a spell slot to bring Claw back to life and then cantrip mending it up to full health.
Sounds good. Which is now 52, you said, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is anyone going to heal up the horse that you rescued?
It's just...
I mean, technically the horse also got a short rest.
Oh.
So I guess it gets a D8 plus con.
It's the horse's con.
I mean, I'm guessing it's zero.
One. It got a plus one on the fort save, or on the con
save. Oh, yeah,
save,
you're right. It gets 6 health back.
Suppose we would want to do that. How much is its total health?
10.
So it's at 6 out of 10.
Yeah, it's probably not worth it, honestly.
You're going to have to tie it up. It's not going to climb up into the cave.
Yeah, you could probably ride it like that mile closer, but then once you have to start scaling the side, it's not going to work.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To the cave!
Yeah, to the cave.
To the walls.
All right, so you mount up back on horses, Pipsky, Claw, and leaving behind some disemboweled dragons, you head off east for the next 20, 25 minutes or so. You sort of plod up the snowy slope until eventually it starts getting too rocky and too steep to really ride any further, and you have to break out your climbing equipment and just sort of start taking it slowly and rock climb / use ropes and make your way upwards.
Dave, you conveniently forget that we all fly.
You get to the edge of the mountain, dismount, and begin flying upwards. I was going to ask if you had climbing gear. Very irrelevant, as it turns out.
Bipsky takes her time, but she scales right up it, too.
Yeah, because she has a climb speed, right?
Yep.
Cool.
We'll leave Claw with the two horses.
Okay. Just with, like, orders to guard them, basically?
Yeah.
/ keep them there.
Good. Yep. Now we'll come back and find all three of them dead instead of just the two horses.
Well, let's go up and get killed by an elder dragon ourselves.
Okay.
I can't wait till Dave makes us negotiate the social quandaries after we murdered its two children.
So you fly up the side
I'm
of the mountain.
Still carrying around the steaks.
Oh, you haven't eaten them yet. You just cut them.
Yeah. It's cold enough. They'll keep.
True. It's true. So it only takes you 4 or 5 minutes to fly up the few thousand feet to the entrance to the cave. And as you get there around, we'll say it's around three. No, wait a minute. You only just teleport. But there was some walking. We'll say it's like somewhere around midday or so. And as you sort of crest the edge of the ledge that the cave opens out onto, you can see the sort of curving arch of this rocky, icy cave that leads back into the mountain. The opening here at the front is probably something like 50 feet high, but it does sort of narrow down as it goes further back, probably before we go, lowering to about maybe 30 feet as it gets darker towards the rear. Go ahead, Craig.
Before we go in there, Jeff and Cody, did either of you want any additional healing?
Or no, good? I'm good.
No, I'm kind of assuming okay. This is his dramatic thing, or a dragon's going to pop out and it'll be really cool.
So along the top of this icy opening to the cave, there are icicles dangling down. And as you look up, you realize that not all of the stuff is icicles. You realize that there's a number of corpses that are just sort of embedded in the ice at the top of the cave and dangling down. Some of them full bodies, some of them just parts, some of them humanoid, some of them four-legged. It's a big mishmash, but they're all just sort of frozen solid. Some of them even have sheens of ice over top of them. They've been there for some time. And then further back from within the cave, you just hear a low sort of...
Sort of what?
A low sort of rumble.
Growl. I think I'll take that additional healing now.
Our title track, They Left Me In Here, was composed by Daniel Ran as part of the Beyond Skyrim Bruma original soundtrack and is being utilized under Creative Commons 4 Attribution Sharealike license. Enjoy what you heard? Check us out online at rancorsbrothel.com and the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this show with your friends. Want to chat? Follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel or by emailing therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. To interact with other fans, check out the Fans of the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.